This is the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do so, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." A woman named Ann Weems was opening up her family's nativity set. Maybe you have one, something like it. A set of figures made from wood or glass or clay, which represent Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, the shepherds, the angels, the wise men. Maybe it's been in your family for years, even handed down from parents or grandparents. You get it out each December and you set up the figures. And then, in January, you wrap them all back up again and pack them away for another year. Maybe you've used your creche to teach your children the story of the birth of Jesus. Or maybe your set is too delicate and too fragile to be a plaything for children, but instead it holds a place of honor among the Christmas decorations that adorn your home. Anyway, Anne was setting up her creche scene when she began to think about the story and the meaning behind each figure. As she put Joseph in his traditional spot, she remembered the scripture text, this text from Matthew chapter 1. And she realized how hard it must have been for Joseph to make sense of Mary's pregnancy. She felt sympathetic with his struggle. She worked to put her thoughts into words, and she ended up with this poem. Who put Joseph in the back of the stable? Who dressed him in brown, put a staff in his hand, and told him to stand at the back of the creche, background for the magnificent light of the Madonna? God chosen, this man Joseph was faithful. In spite of the gossip in Nazareth, in spite of the danger from Herod, this man Joseph listened to angels, and it was he who named the child Emmanuel. Is this a man to be stuck for centuries at the back of the stable? Actually, Joseph probably stood in the doorway, guarding the mother and child, or greeting the shepherds and kings. When he wasn't in the doorway, he was probably urging Mary to get some rest, gently covering her with his cloak, assuring her that he would watch the child. Actually, he probably picked up the child in his arms and walked him in the night, patting him lovingly until he closed his eyes. This Christmas, let's give thanks to God for this man of incredible faith, into whose care God placed the Christ child. As a gesture of gratitude, let's put Joseph in the front of the stable where he can guard and greet and cast an occasional glance at this child who brought us life. Having found the right place to put Joseph, Anne next turned her thoughts to the baby himself. I don't know exactly what kind of manger her nativity set has. I can only picture at the moment the one I have set up in my living room, which happens to put the baby Jesus, it's kind of a tiny set made out of felt, puts the baby Jesus into an empty walnut shell. Anyway, Anne unwrapped her baby, and as she put him into the manger, it came to her what a scandalous, unlikely thing it is for God to enter the world in the form of a baby. And what a further scandal it is that the baby would be found in such a lowly place. Her poem about the Messiah goes like this. Even now, we do not expect to find a deity in a stable. Somehow the setting is all wrong. The swaddling clothes too plain, the manger too common for the likes of a savior. The straw inelegant, the animals reeking and noisy. And the cast of characters is no better. With the possible exception of the kings, who among them is fit for this night? The shepherds? Certainly too crude. The carpenter? Too rough. The girl? Too young. And the baby? Whoever expected a baby? Whoever expected the advent of God in a helpless child? Had the Messiah arrived in the blazing light of the glory of a legion of angels wielding golden swords, the whole world would have been conquered for Christ right then and there. And we in the church, to say nothing of the world, would not have so much trouble today. Even now, we simply do not expect to face the world armed with love. Baby is such a small thing, so vulnerable, requiring so much care. A baby has nothing to do with conquering and everything to do with winning our hearts. Cradling the baby Jesus in her hands and then laying him in the manger, and let her imagination turn next to the shepherds who would soon be making their way to Bethlehem to get a glimpse of this newborn. She wondered if she had been Mary or if she had been Joseph, how might she have reacted to the shepherds' arrival? If she'd been in charge of orchestrating the birth or organizing the guest list, who might she have included or specifically excluded? She got the shepherds out of the box along with another poem called Had We Been There. Into the stable they struggled, poor and dirty, hardly suitably dressed for polite society. Had we been Joseph, we would have feared robbery. Had we been Mary, we would have feared germs around our newborn. Had we been God, these are not the ones we would have chosen to first come and see the child. After all, they showed a certain carelessness about the rules of the church. And yet, God chosen, they came to kneel and worship him whom we would later call the Good Shepherd. Perhaps we could brush up on our humbleness. Are there people that we would exclude from our worship of the Christ child because somehow they just don't match up to our standards? Are we at times too quick to rush to judgment? The next figure out of the box did, in fact, help Anne to get in touch with her own imperfections and inadequacies. She describes her reaction in The Plastic Angel. Our creche set came complete with a stable and a plastic angel. Small, not at all to scale. The white-garbed creature with uncertain wings was obviously an afterthought, thrown in to complete the set, otherwise ceramic and hand-painted. Unless, of course, this angel was a last-minute substitute for one which was irresistible to the packer. In that case, somewhere I have an irresistible ceramic angel dressed gloriously in red, kneeling or flying on somebody else's coffee table, even now as I unwrap the plastic angel. If I could ever bring myself to throw away an angel, it would be this one. This one with no redeeming features. And yet each year as I unwrap the plastic angel, I hesitate again to pitch this celestial messenger. I am reminded of my own lack of glory. My own plastic attempts at celebrating Christmas. My own feeble enunciations. And once again, I place this bit of plastic over the stable. If the plastic angel can get this far, perhaps there's a place in Bethlehem town for me. If there is room around the manger for something so tacky as a plastic angel, perhaps there is room enough for us as well. Even when we feel that we don't have much to offer, perhaps we can make our way anyway to the place where God is seen and honored. Perhaps we do have a message or even a gift to share with others. And we can always hope that being present at the manger will somehow brighten or improve or transform us. That somehow, by the grace of God, we will leave the experience of attending Jesus' birth with stars clinging to our garments. We can pray that God will show us how to be the people that we were created to be. That God will help us to become beautiful, radiant, flesh and blood angels who bring good news of great joy to all people. Our aspirations could be summed up by this final poem from Anne Weems, in which she shares one last important realization. Wouldn't it be grand to be an angel, to have as your address the realms of the glory of God? And swing on rainbows and gather stars in your pockets, winging in and out of earth in a flurry of moon dust with the messages of God, comforting the distressed, warning the righteous, delivering the just, guarding little children. Of course, we can comfort and warn and deliver and guard. Maybe if we get that right, we can swing on rainbows later. The old legend of St. Bridget and the poems of Anne Weems invite us to reflect and to imagine. Who was at the manger? How might each person's unique personality and specific history have been evident? What was it really like that night in Bethlehem? What would it have meant to be present at the stable? Can we see ourselves there? What would our role, our place have been? How is God at work in us and in our world through the events of the Christmas story? What happened to Bridget and what happened to Anne can also happen to us. If we're looking in the right places, if we kneel to God in prayer, if we open ourselves to the insights of the Spirit, we have plenty of opportunity to see the Nativity story intersecting with our story and to be present to celebrate the arrival of a holy child. Just for example, on Wednesday night this past week, a baby boy ate dinner here at our church. He was brought here by his mother, who was hungry and needed food for herself and her child. Mother and child are living in a car. The baby's a year old. He has fat cherub cheeks, curly golden hair, and a delightful, happy chuckle. None of us regulars had ever seen him before, but he certainly is photogenic. Funny he should turn up the very same night that a film crew and a newspaper reporter were present to cover the story of how the city is trying to shut down our Wednesday night community meal and medical clinic ministry. Interesting that his picture should be printed in the paper and should be featured in the lead story on the 11 o'clock news. If you ask me, it's just another instance of Jesus showing up, not necessarily where he was expected, but certainly where he is needed most. Eternal God, if we listen, we can hear Joseph saying, His name is Jesus. If we breathe in the fullness of your Spirit, we can smell the straw and the sheep and the old wood. If we are willing, we can let our parched tongues feel the cool water that Mary must have longed for on that night of hard travel and hard labor. If we look just right, we can see angels shimmering near at hand. If we open our hands, we can touch the baby's soft skin and downy newborn hair. Help us to understand that we are there, Lord, and that you are here. You are as near as our next breath. You are coming into our world. Oh God, help us not to miss it. Open our hearts to what you would have us be and do. We pray today for the salvation of our amazing and wonderful world, your beautiful creation. We pray for the healing of all those who are sick or wounded. We pray for good jobs for those who want to make a contribution to the world and support themselves and their families. We pray for food for those who are hungry and shelter for those that have none. We pray for peace in all the world. May our prayers translate into action, Lord, that we may share in the completion of your kingdom. We pray now as you taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.